Now let's think about some other things concerning this. This is just brand new. It's just coming out. Now the question is, how long will it take? How many years will it take? We don't know. But this has got to be the beginning of the end. Regardless of how many years it takes, it can take many years, it can take a few years, just depending on how things work out, and we don't know. So therefore, we've got to be prepared in it. Now let's also understand that another thing is this. Those who believe the Bible and believe what it says and believe concerning the mark of the beast as it's described here and looks at things like the Verichip and the digital angel as those things that God says that will cause you loss of salvation. And those who won't receive it will be viewed as nuts. You'll be viewed as uncaring, unloving. Why, you won't get this and provide for your family? And look at your wife and children, they're all crying because you won't do this. But let's see what the end result is going to be. Let's pick it up here in Revelation 14, Revelation 14 and verse 9. Now here's the ultimate fate of those who receive the mark of the beast. And people are going to say, why, this is very harsh. Yes, it is. Because you see, the ultimate thing with the mark of the beast is that you give up your choice. You give it over to the beast. You give it over to Satan the devil. Verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image, and receives the mark in his forehead or on his hand, or in his hand, on his hand, either one, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends into the ages of eternity, and those who worship the beast and its image and all who receive the mark of its name have no rest day and night. Here's the patience of the saints. Now, isn't it interesting? It compares those who receive the mark of the beast and what their fate is. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, notice verse 13. When you tie this in with, if you don't receive it, you're going to be killed. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forward. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. And what are their works? That they die for Christ. And after all, and especially in this age, it is not pleasant, it is not acceptable to people to say that we may be martyred. But after all, when we were baptized into the death of Christ, we died with Christ. So whatever Christ requires of us, whether it be that we give our lives because we keep the commandments of God and we love God and have the faith of Christ, and if that's the case, then that's what it will have to be. Other Christians suffered through that. Others have been martyred for what they believe. And of course, if you're going to be faithful, then you are faithful unto death. So we don't know exactly how this is going to fall upon every one of us. That's why we've got to live by faith. Now, we don't know how they are going to kill us. We have one hint, though. We have one hint. It looks like they're going to activate the guillotine, as we'll see in a little bit. Going to be beheaded, just like the French Revolution. And after all, think of all the good body parts that they can use. So there will be a benefit to it. And by the way, every body that has the parts which they sell though people donate, is worth $250,000 to the medical community. Okay, let's go on here. Now, what's going to happen to them? Well, let's come over here to chapter 15, verse 2, which ties in with Pentecost. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over its mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So you need to look at what the end result is going to be. Don't look at the immediate effect that you may have to give your life. Look at what the end result is going to be in the kingdom of God, or go in the lake of fire. Those are the choices that are set before us. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that's radical. But you need to understand, the Bible says, and Christ said, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These are the words of Christ. This is what he's telling us. And so they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. And then we have the pouring out of the seven last plagues. Now let's come over here to Revelation 20, and let's read where apparently it is going to be at this end time that those who are martyred for Christ will be beheaded. Well, let's read it here in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image, and did not receive the mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ during the 1,000 years. So that's what we have to look forward to. Now let's understand something. Now is the time, because this is the beginning of the end as far as I'm able to understand. Now let's understand some very important things that we need to realize concerning our attitude toward it. Let's come to Matthew the 26th chapter, please. Matthew the 26th chapter. And let's understand a phenomena that takes place with human beings. When a crisis is at hand, they become inactive, such as the Jews were when the Holocaust came upon them in Europe, and they just went like cattle into the cars. Or they become like the disciples here, they go to sleep. So let's read this, because there's an important and profound lesson for us. Now, beginning in verse 36, Matthew 26. Then comes Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is then his James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Now you wait here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he comes to his disciples and finds them asleep. And isn't that the way that it is many times in the face of danger, in the face of imminent things that are going to take place, people go to sleep at the switch. And right at the crisis, which was beginning right here with his prayers in the garden and leading to his arrest and judgment and crucifixion, the disciples fell asleep at the switch, not only once, but as we will see, three times. So he said unto Peter, what or why is it that you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And we need to, with this mark of the beast coming, we need to watch and pray that we don't enter into the temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink of it, your will be done. And he came and again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Sleep on now, take your rest, for the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So you see, there's going to come a time, just like the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. They all slumbered and slept, and the wise took oil in their vessels with them. The foolish didn't. And then came the midnight call. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil. And the wise said to the foolish, We can't. Go to them that sell and buy. And then the Lord came, and the 5 wise entered into the with the bridegroom, and the 5 foolish, the door was shut on them. So you see, now we are facing exactly the same thing. We are living in a time when there is so much. We are living in a time when we have everything physically at our fingertips. We are also living at a time when we perhaps understand more about the Bible than any generation that has been in the history of the world. Now let's come to Luke, the 12th chapter, and let's see that there are some tremendous lessons for us to learn here. Luke 12. Now let's pick it up here beginning in verse 15. And you see, it's going to be awfully hard for people to give up the things that they can buy through credit cards, and it will then be with the mark of the beast and so forth. It's going to be hard to give that up. That's why Christ said here, verse 15, He said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And yet today people think what? The more you have, the better you are. And a lot of people equate that with spirituality, don't they? Now, I want you to think back, those of you who knew. Think back to when the Worldwide Church of God had the 3 campuses, had the beautiful settings, had all the income coming in, and everything was so great. And I want you to think back. When I resigned in 1979, I said, unless there was someone down there calling them to repentance, that God would send the forces into the church to destroy it. Now, I didn't say that because I looked upon myself as a prophet, and I didn't say that because I desired it to happen. But I could read the Bible and see that unless there was repentance, that is exactly what would happen. And today, it has happened. And it's going to happen even more ignominiously than we have ever thought. They are not going to be able to complete the sale of the campus in Pasadena. They cannot walk away from the deal because they will be sued and have to return all the money to Legacy Corporation. So they may just have to walk away from it and put a chain link fence around it, and that's what has been proposed, and that's what they're going to do. And I think this, because of the sins, they have been cursed. And in being cursed, God is not going to let anyone profit from the idol of that property, but He is going to destroy it. Now, He's not going to obliterate it by literally destroying it, but He will destroy it by not letting them get one penny out of it, or very little, if anything, from it. And so we need to take that as a lesson. Now, let's continue on here in verse 16, and we'll see. Here's the lesson. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, is rich and increased with good. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater ones, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We could say the same thing today. Boy, I've got all this stock in the stock market. I am worth so much. I am going to retire, and Enron is going to be such a great thing for me. And there were many who were in that position. Now, if we do this spiritually, think of the consequences, you see. Verse 29. God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall these things be which you have provided?" Every time I see a documentary on the pharaohs, look at all that they took into the pyramids with them, only to have thieves come and take it away. And they couldn't use it. It was of no benefit to them. And when they show the mummies, they're still dead. So it's the same situation here. Verse 21. "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And that's the problem of the Laodicean, isn't it? I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and have need of nothing, because I have all of these physical things around me. And all of these physical things represent blessings from God, don't they? Well, you know the rest of the story with the Laodiceans. Now, let's come down here to verse 31. And let's see what we, in this case, what we have been forced to do. "But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Now, we're talking not just the physical things here in this case. We're looking at the spiritual things. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So he says, "Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags that don't grow old, a treasure in heaven that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights be shining. Be ready, be prepared, doing the things that God wants you to do. And you yourselves be like the men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching." So not only do we need to be watching, we also need to be doing, as we will see here in a little bit. And now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to do, as God said to the Laodiceans, to repent and to be zealous and to be serious about our calling and to be serious about what God has called us to do, because you have in your hands the beginning of the end. And it's right there for you to see. It's right there for everyone to see. So what are we going to do? Now let's come down here to verse 41. "Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable unto us or even to all? And so Jesus didn't answer the question, but he went on to explain it a little bit further. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household and give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that Lord, that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." That's the whole key. And today there are how many people who are laying down on the job, who are not studying, who are not praying, who are not taking advantage of the time that we have, who are not gaining the knowledge of the truth of the Scriptures, who are not having an in-depth relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer, through fasting, through study, and all of the spiritual tools that we need? No, they're just out there going along with the flow. And it's going to create great problems for them. So if he finds him so doing, Jesus said, verse 44, "Of a truth, I tell you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming," which means that it's going to come at a time that nobody expects, you see, "and shall begin to beat the men servants and maids and to eat and drink with the drunken. And if you eat and drink with the drunken, you're drinking out of the cup of the wine of the fornication of Mother Babylon the Great. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and an hour which he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And the servant which knew his Lord's will, and we know the will of God, don't we? And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So the question is, do you want the correction from the Word of God to help you so you can make the choice to do what is right? Or are you going to wait for the correction which comes directly from Jesus Christ himself? We have those choices to make, don't we, brethren? Now, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him much will be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And that's exactly where we are today. You know, and that's why it's also very important for you to understand the reason when you go and you look at the parable of the one who received the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. The 5 increased to 5, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. The one who received 2 increased it to 4, and well done, good and faithful servant. The one who had 1 went and hid it. He didn't do the will of the Lord. He didn't go and trade like Christ said. And Christ came and he said, here's yours, Lord. And he said, I feared you, for you're a harsh man. For you reap where you haven't sown, and you straw where you haven't planted. And Christ said, you wicked and lazy servant. And he took the 1 talent and gave it to the one that had 10. And a lot of people will say, well, why does he give it to the one who has 10? Lord, he's got 10. Well, the reason is the one who has 10 knows what to do and did what should have been done. So now, likewise, in our lives, what are we doing, you see? What are we doing? Because here we are at the beginning of the end. And here we are when these things are going to take place. And just like the disciples, we're falling asleep at the switch. Now, let's come back here to Isaiah 56. Let's look at some other scriptures. Isaiah 56. And here's where we are in the world today. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. All you beasts of the fields, come and devour, and all you beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And that's how God looks at the situation when we fall asleep at the switch. Now's the time to be alert, to be watching, knowing what's going on. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. And they all look to their own way, every man for his own gain from his quarter. Come you, they say, and I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today, and much more abundant. That's what's going to happen with the mark of the beast. Now, if we're asleep at the switch, let's come back here to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Let's understand. Let's apply this spiritually. Let's apply it to our lives. Because as we look at the things that we are building spiritually, and we've got to constantly build every day, and we've got to constantly grow every day, and we've got to constantly maintain a spiritual relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ every day. Now let's pick it up here in Proverbs 6 and verse 4. Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Apply this spiritually. Deliver yourself as the roe from the hand of the hunter. Escape the traps and the pitfalls that are coming, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler, so that those devices won't come in and grab you. Verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no ruler, overseer, or guide, that's interesting, isn't it? Provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. Now, when you travel, if you just leave your house unattended, when you come back, it talks in another place, like a cottage that is overgrown with cucumbers. In other words, everything unkept, everything falling apart, everything disintegrating. And that's where too many people are spiritually. They're all disintegrating. And they don't know where to go. They're hot, they're cold, they're lukewarm. They keep the Sabbath, they don't keep the Sabbath. They keep the holy days, they don't keep the holy days. They tithe, they don't tithe. They pray, they don't pray. They study, they don't study. And it's just kind of a continuous seesaw of mixed emotions because of a lack of total dedication to God. And because of a lack of complete commitment to the Word of God and living God's ways. And the strangest thing about it, what happens is this, they blame God. When God is not to blame, you see. And that's the way it is with the Laodicean, because he talks back to God. Well, you see, God is merciful and kind, and don't mistake the merciful and kindness, the merciful kindness that God gives to you as allowance or something that God is not going to call you into question for, because he will. You see, and remember this, judgment is on the house of God today, so we are being judged every single day. Let's come back to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And let's look at something here that's very important for us to understand. Ephesians 5. Let's begin in verse 6. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is going to come. Just because there is a space of time, just because God does not come down and instantly bring his wrath upon us, let's not mistake that as for God's approval. Let's not mistake that as that we have more time. Be not you therefore partakers with them. Be not partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness. Now you're not. You know the truth. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Which he says here, back to verse 1 and 2, be you followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. That's the way we are to walk. Now back to verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When you expose them, it's not pleasant, but those things need to be done. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake you that sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now, with the mark of the beast coming out, now is the time to do that. Now is the time, while you still are able, to sit down and make yourself some permanent spiritual goals and things that you are going to do. Now's the time to get on your knees before God in repentance and resolve and reestablishing your relationship with God. Now is the time while there is time. Now let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, please. And let's pick it up here in verse, just begin right here in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. This is very important for us, brethren. You see, no one believed Jeremiah when he said, Nebuchadnezzar's coming and going to destroy this city. And then when it happened, they blamed him. They had 20 years to repent and change. And God gave them all the time to repent. Just read the book of Jeremiah and see. God is merciful and kind and long-suffering. And he will grant us a way of escape. He will grant us repentance. But when the time comes to do so, which is for us now, because the end has begun, then God will bless us. If we don't, we'll end up in the same situation that the Jews did because they didn't listen to Jeremiah. Now, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, that's coming, then sudden destruction comes upon them as upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day, and you are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, deceived by Satan the devil. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to wake up from the dead. Now, let's see what's going to happen to the world because they are asleep. Let's see what's going to happen to them because they are in the darkness. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, we already alluded to this. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is coming. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And when that happens, if you're not already right with Christ, it's too late. Do you understand that? Now, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he is who is restraining, as it should read, will restrain him until he be revealed out of the midst. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now ask yourself a question. Do I love the truth of God? Really? Or do I just love those things that benefit me? Do I love God at all times, even in trials and temptations and difficulties and deprivations? Do you love the truth? Do you obey the truth because you love it? If not, notice what's going to happen to the world because they don't, and also to the Laodiceans who are blind. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. It isn't the mark of the beast a lie. All the benefits are only temporary. All of the benefits are those things which are physical. Because, you see, Satan owns the world, and he gives it to whomsoever will worship him. So they're going to believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But, you see, we're not to be that way, brethren, just as Paul said here. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen, from the beginning, has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. For unto he called you to his gospel according to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And so that's where we are today. Let's come back here to Revelation 3, and let's see something very important. Now let's look at the message to the Philadelphia church. And let's see the benefits, the spiritual benefits that God will give because we faithfully do the things that God wants us to do. We love him, and we love the brethren. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, so that no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word. Is there a blessing in keeping the word of God? Absolutely. And have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. And that'll happen. If you don't believe it will happen, go back and study the book of Esther and see what happened to Haman, the Agagite, versus Mordecai. Who won the final battle? Mordecai. So likewise, in being faithful to God, you will win the final battle. You may lose some things physically, but those are to be counted as nothing, brother, because those will in turn be spiritual riches stored up in heaven for you, for your reward when Christ returns. Now verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, or patiently kept my word. And that means under all circumstances. And I'll tell you something. It is harder and more difficult to keep the word of God, to love God, and obey God in a time when the world is as it is now, when everything physical is out there for your benefit and distraction. It's harder. It's a greater challenge to be zealous in this kind of situation. But notice, there is a benefit. Because you kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. And I mentioned right for that tape, the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this means the whole earth. This has got to be the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. It can't be anything else. Because will never be a trial which will come upon the whole earth of the magnitude of that which is going to turn people away from God and turn them toward Satan the devil. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have. Don't give it up, that no man take your crown. So then he gives us the words of encouragement. He that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Keep that in mind. The ultimate reward, the ultimate thing that God is going to give you and bless you with, you see. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, and I will write upon him my new name. And this is what we need to focus on, brethren. And this is what we need to ask God to help us have the kind of attitude. This is why we need to, as Paul said, wake up from the dead. The time is here. The mark of the beast is here. It's not coming. It is here. Now, verse 13. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, brethren, let's realize and understand that with this verichip, the mark of the beast is here. The beginning of the end has started. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.